Frustration with perceived government overreach, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, has prompted some Hoosier lawmakers to redouble efforts to eliminate what they view as unnecessary, if not downright counterproductive, government regulation. Of course, one person's obstacle to individual freedom and robust economic development is another person's bulwark against threats to the personal safety and financial well-being of an otherwise vulnerable public. Hi, I'm John Schwannis, and on this week's show, we'll examine the legislative push to rein in the rulemaking authority of supposed runaway administrative agencies and unaccountable government employees at both the state and local levels. Don't go away, Indiana lawmakers, from the State House to your house. The issue of government regulation raises numerous questions, both philosophical and practical. One of the most basic is, who's better equipped to shape the state's ever-evolving regulatory landscape? Members of the part-time General Assembly who face voters every 2 or 4 years, or full-time government employees who, while unelected, may have spent decades developing expertise in a given field? Joining me to share their thoughts on the subject are Republican Representative Stephen Bartels of Eckerd, Democratic Representative Ed Delaney of Indianapolis, Republican Senator Chris Garten of Charlestown, and John Krause, former director of the Indiana University Public Policy Institute and the Indiana Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, and now a clinical professor emeritus of public and environmental affairs and adjunct professor of law at IU. Thank you all for being here. We are going to get to that basic question, believe me, I promise. But I thought we could set the stage by seeing if there's consensus on how much red tape is encircling the state of Indiana and Hoosiers right now. And I refer to a couple of recently published studies by groups that tend to be fairly libertarian in nature, free enterprise groups. Cato Institute says that Indiana, in terms of its index of personal and economic freedom, is number 6 best in terms of meaning we don't have a lot of red tape in the state. Forbes Regulatory Environment ranked 5. Mercatus Institute or Center, which is a think tank at George Mason University funded by the Koch brothers, they say we're the best in the Midwest, and they're particularly pleased by the regulatory policy in Indiana, which they say is a particular area of excellence. Against that backdrop, Stephen Bartels, reconcile that with what seems to be, to many in your caucus, a problem with red tape in this state.
Well, I think there's a disconnect because there's a problem. The intent is not to try to surface some problem. It's really to start doing some oversight. The intent was this, is all these regulations come in. A lot of the lawmakers and General Assembly aren't familiar with these renewal processes and really what all these rules really do. So, you know, if you look at the intent of the bill and you look at the words, it's really only to say we want the General Assembly to be a part of that process. We want to be notified. And we want to know what's going on in the agencies, so we can become more familiar with what's going on. So this isn't something that I was looking at going, hey, we've got a big problem here. And if we're not number one in everything, then this maybe is the way we can be.
So get from 5 or 6 up to number one, that would make you happy. And there's some people who say this is all a reaction to COVID and the governor's emergency orders. Would you have been doing this in the absence of COVID? Hard to think about a world without COVID, but if we hadn't been dealing with that for the past 2 years, is this something that still would be atop your agenda?
Absolutely. This is something that I've looked at from when I first came here 5 years ago. This process was something I looked at and said, you know, how are these agencies interacting with the citizens and how, you know.
I think we lost you there for a moment, but I'm sure the red tape gremlins of technology will get you back momentarily. Let's assume maybe that Ed Delaney can hear us. Representative Delaney, you know, Indiana has 49 state agencies, some 93,000 rules. That does sound pretty burdensome, is it?
Well, I think it's a practical matter. It's not burdensome for most people. I've been in a regulated industry. I'm familiar with it. But I have no problem with the concept, as Representative Bartels put it out, that we ought to do oversight. This is a criticism of the legislature. We don't do a lot of oversight of, for example, what I consider important, like budgetary matters, and we don't do a lot of oversight of regulatory. So if the idea is to pick some agencies that have a lot of interaction with the public, have a lot of rules to enforce, and to see how they're doing it, I have no problem. I think in many cases we may find that they're under-resourced. And that has two consequences. One is they can't react very fast to people who have legitimate requests. But also, from my point of view, means that they don't regulate things they're supposed to regulate because they don't have the staff. So I'm for looking at the issue. I don't see we have a big problem. I'll end on one keynote. Historically, we've taken every option to take over the regulatory function from Washington and do it ourselves. Under Democrats and Republicans, we've done that. And the purpose, frankly, is to put less pressure on the citizens and less power in the hands of the regulators. That's been our strategy. I'd be shocked if the Republicans have failed to take full advantage of that strategy. But let's look at it and see what we find.
Senator Chris Gardner, is this more about a burdensome red tape, as I suggested, or is it about a lack of legislative oversight, as Representative Bartels proposed?
Well, John, thanks again for having me. I appreciate this platform to have this conversation. I would completely agree and concur with what Representative Bartels said. I think for us to go from 5 and 6 to number one in the nation, I think it's going to take us doing a deep dive into what these agencies and these regulatory bodies are and the effect they're having on the everyday Hoosier as they interact. That's what it's going to take for us to, as a state, to go to that next level. And that's simply that. It's saying, hey, let's do a deep dive. Let's do a review. Let's see where we can improve, where we can do better. And to Representative Delaney's point, I think that there's going to be some agencies that could come before us that we may uncover that, hey, maybe we do need to appropriate more monies in certain areas to improve that interaction or the services that they're providing to these Hoosiers. And so that's something that we certainly need to look at and consider.
John Krause, you've studied this issue from many perspectives for a long time. Is this something where we want to be number one as a state, or would that be a rather dubious distinction?
Yeah, maybe we ought to step back and look at the context. What's the role of government? It's to create opportunities and solve problems. And I think when we looked at the health, safety, and economic opportunity that government is supposed to ensure, then the General Assembly establishes the goals. The strategies are shared with the governor, whoever he or she is. And the agencies are there to deliver the tactics. I mean, that's where the nimbleness and the responsiveness has to occur. And I think when we think about regulations, we always think of things that you can't do. Well, the other part of that equation is opportunities and what can you enable and what can you have happen. But the agency and the expertise of the agency is where the nimbleness has got to be. And I think a good review of all this to see whether our agency is responsible, but this is a partnership between the General Assembly and whoever is the current governor in implementing the strategies that are outlined in various bills that are there for to protect and advance Hoosiers.
It does seem that there's an appetite, a bipartisan appetite, for reviewing our current regulatory scheme. And one bill that received overwhelming support in both the House and the Senate would create a 10-member task force to, I guess, see how we size up with other states and see how we can improve and maybe take a crack at this in a more in-depth manner. Now, Representative Bartels, we'll talk about your legislation in a moment. I know you're supportive of this, too, although it doesn't go as far as fast as you had hoped. But a good idea to take stock of what we're doing and how it compares with other states around the country. That's for Representative Bartels.
Oh, I thought you were talking. Yeah, I mean, I think the task force is a great way to implement some new ideas after we see what it uncovers. I think the two bills kind of married each other. With notification prior to the task force, I think we could see some problems so that we could go to this task force with already some data. That's my hope and still my hope that we can do something like that. So, yeah, I think these two work well together.
And it doesn't go as far, though, again, as you wanted briefly. And I know we could spend an hour just talking about the nuances of your bill that you one of your priorities for this session in terms of making sure that state regulations aren't any more stringent than the nation, than the federal regulations. It would do a lot of things to sort of, if you're going to have a new regulation, you take one away, there'd be a sunset provision, or they'd have to be renewed more frequently. Why that push? I know it may not won't get to the governor's desk this session, but I'm sure you're still enthusiastic about those changes. And why is that?
Yeah, it's a good point. The more stringent clause. You know, the key here is it's not that I don't think Indiana shouldn't have more stringent laws. I just don't think the agency should be the one that does that. I think that needs to go through the process, the General Assembly, pass both houses. That's where I think that kind of determination should be. And I think it should be the agencies, along with the experts and the stakeholders across the state, to come in and say, here's why we need more regulation or more stringent. So it's not that I'm against it. I just don't think it should be in the hands of just the agency.
Ed Delaney, you, I think, were supportive of the notion of a task force to review this, not supportive, certainly, of Representative Bartels of House Bill 1100. Why the distinction in your mind?
Well, I think it is our job to do oversight. It's not our job to make decisions in individual cases. And it's not our job to be the experts. That's one of the problems. We're not experts on these things. I'll give an example that I hope is not ideologically controversial. I and a lot of other people don't like what's going on with Asian carp going up the rivers and going into Lake Michigan, perhaps. All right. The feds, if we decided, our agencies decided that the feds were not doing enough, they were not stringent enough. Under some of these proposals, we would bar our state agency from doing anything more stringent than Washington without the blessing of the General Assembly. I just don't think that's necessary. I don't think we're the experts. So I think that's an example of why we need to give discretion to these agencies, because of their knowledge and because they need to move rapidly. We don't move rapidly. And by the way, it behooves me to mention something. The greatest regulators in the world are the Indiana General Assembly on the alcohol laws. I won't bore you with it, but I can tell you how many ounces of beer you can have at a county fair. I know these things. So
this is news we can use, as they used to say, you know, right. Where it intersects with the general public.
Yeah, I would defer to the public. And I don't think we have the competence. It's that issue. It's not just that they may be going too far in the administrative side. It's who are we and what's our ability?
Chris Gardner, how about that? Now, you certainly are a backer and a co-author, I believe, of this notion of legislation that would create a task force to study the issues. And that, in all likelihood, I think it's in committee and conference right now. Presuming everything gets worked out, I presume that will be on its way to the governor's desk. You, I think, were generally supportive of the concept, Representative Bartels' bill, the no stringent, the more frequent sunsetting of these provisions and so forth. Are you hopeful that the review, this year-long review, leads to an outcome that would be, simpatico, should we say, with what Representative Bartels has been pushing?
Yeah, so John, a couple thoughts on that. If I could respond to Representative Delaney's last comment just real quick. You know, I don't think that Representative Bartels' House Bill 1100 says that the legislature is so much experts more so than the agencies. What the legislative process does allow, where the rulemaking process does not, is for private sector experts to come in and testify before us and allow us to consider those perceptions. And I think, unfortunately, the rulemaking process only considers those agency perspectives. And so I think it tends to be a little more of a narrow-minded approach. That would be my concern sometimes with these agency interpretations. Now, John, to your question here, I think it's important to go back to the very beginning and understand kind of the foundation of rulemaking and where that comes from. And so I kind of started to do a deep dive in this. And if you go all the way back to the King James I in the early 1600s, he actually created these tribunals, the two kind of top ones were the Star Tribunal and the High Commission. And that was so that he could operate and do judicial proclamations outside of the courts. And when you fast forward a few years, I think somewhere around 1641, Parliament actually dissolved those and said, no, that's unlawful. You can't do that because he was issuing judicial proclamations that had the binding authority of law but did not go through the legislative process. And so it's interesting when you go back and see those things and you start to see how they come out in our government today. You know, as well, you look at oversight and we fast forward to, say, Senate Bill 264. I think it's important to understand also where that bill started. That bill actually started by creating an oversight committee, not a task force. And so as I started to collaborate with not only agencies, but other members of my caucus and House caucus, and we started to consider legislation that we thought would really move the needle and maybe propel Indiana to that first spot and being business friendly or cutting red tape, we thought, you know, we need to do a deeper dive in this. We need to really dig in and really understand, because a lot of these agencies are different and a lot of their rules are different and how they promulgate rules. Some of these agencies, you mentioned 49 of them have rulemaking authority. There's also 66 boards and commissions that have rulemaking authority. And then you take out and you extrapolate, 59 of these agencies also have emergency rulemaking authority, which is a completely separate process in and of itself. You know, one of the examples I'll use, go ahead.
Well, no, don't finish your thought. I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity here, but.
Sure. One of the examples I'll use, Representative Delaney used the Asian carp. One that I'll use, and it's a conversation being had right now, is you look at the Indiana Gaming Commission, and the conversation was expanding gaming. And they were under, I think, the belief that they had the ability and the authority to do that. And I think what you're seeing right now is the General Assembly looking at a heavily regulated industry of gaming, saying, no, you can't do that without legislative authority. And so I think those are conversations, again, that better fit the legislative process.
And this, and for those who haven't followed it closely, of course, that's a debate over whether the Lottery Commission in and of itself has the ability to go with digital or internet-based gaming. They say they would. Some lawmakers say they don't have that authority. John Krause, we've heard a lot of things here. We have about the nimbleness that's necessary, the oversight that's necessary, the expertise that's necessary. How do we shake? I mean, this is, again, where are we moving as a state, and are we moving in the right direction based on your academic assessment of this proposition?
The whole question is the process we go through in enacting or testing out various rules. I'm a big advocate of negotiated rulemaking, stakeholder recommendations. But nobody likes to have a process. They want a quick answer. They want to solve an immediate problem and therefore just get to that goal. The process of negotiated rulemaking is you get stakeholders sitting around a table with regulators together, and you look at the risks and rewards of various rules and regulations and what the ultimate goal is. That process takes a long time, but I think it's much more effective because everybody understands what the outcome is and the difficult way that you have to get there. I mean, I've been in a roundtable discussion in which the whole question of municipalities annexing land was there. And there was a great observation by a citizen who looked over at a local city planner and said, I didn't realize how complicated your job is to do this and what you have to consider. Well, you know, that kind of insight is wonderful. But we have public hearings, and the public hearings are usually a disaster because people talk at each other. They just make positional statements, and they don't look at the interests of each side. So I think in the process of adopting regulations and reviewing them, I think could take some more time, but I think it would make a much more effective result.
I wonder, Representative Bartels, is this one of those things, be careful what you wish for? If the General Assembly got greater oversight at the expense of agency professionals and so forth at the state and local level, how do you maintain a part-time legislature? Doesn't that, how do you ensure that you have the expertise to deal with issues like, you know, lead contamination and the advanced farming techniques, and certainly there's a lot of bills in terms of pharmaceutical industry and in terms of the telecommunications industry. I won't pretend that I understand. A, how do you ensure that you get that expertise, and do you worry that that would become, force the General Assembly effectively to become full-time? I mean, it seems like it could be a 24/7 proposition if all you're going to do is make rules and oversee rulemaking.
No, absolutely have no consideration of having us go full time. And that's not the intent. And when we talk about the expertise on this, right, can you hear me?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I'll make sure. The expertise would come from those standing committees with, you know, jurisdictional authority, basically, in those areas. The intent here is just to be notified to begin with. And like to Ed's point, if an agency is making rules for Asian carp, for the great example, just that, you know, we don't know what the all possibilities that would come out from actually a public hearing from stakeholders. should there be more commercial licenses for fishing with our waterways? Is there, you know, there's other under industries that could help with those issues. So I think the key here is the General Assembly may do nothing when they're notified for these rulemaking come up and renewals, or they can be involved. I think that's my intent. That was the intent of the bill. Try to collect data so when we go to this task force, we can say, here's some things we need to change. Here's some things we need to leave alone.
You know, I wonder, though, sometimes certainly notification is a big part of this, but in some instances, and maybe not this session, but if we look at the past few sessions, there have been measures, some successful, to essentially take appointed experts out of the process. Let's talk about public health officials at the county and local level. You know, they can't now, because of legislation enacted last year, they can't say we're going to shut this down or we're going to have a mandate to close proper, you know, because of health reasons. It has to be the elected. Now, in that case, it's not the General Assembly, but it's local elected officials. So how do you square that with the notion that you're just, it's just a matter of being notified? There you're telling the experts, we don't necessarily believe you or want to hear from you.
Well, I think what you're seeing is our citizens want us as elected officials to be more involved in the process. I think that's the intent here. And that's across the state of Indiana. So that just supports 264 is the people of Indiana want us to be more involved. They don't want agencies to just be able to keep doing things necessarily without at least notifying people and then having a chance to talk a little more easy than just the rulemaking process.
Ed Delaney, weigh in on that.
Well, I've been in on some rulemakings as a legislator, and I've been on representing clients who were being regulated. I think the system works pretty well. I think our system is, if it has a problem, it's too weak. It does not make the efforts it needs to on environmental issues, in my view, and in the view of many people. It over-regulates some industries like the alcohol industry. So I think it's good to look at the broad picture, but I don't think the conclusion is likely to be that we're harsh regulators in Indiana. I mean, I remember when we used to have Democrat governors in this state, and they made it their business not to be harsh as regulators. They made it their business to take authority from Washington. So I find it hard to believe that Eric Holcomb or Mike Pence or any of the others has been going too far. Can an agency go too far? Sure. And that's why we do have a court system that can review actions. We haven't talked about it, but we're opening that up in a way that scares me as a lawyer. We're going to make the judges look at everything fresh, take new evidence. I'm glad I'm not a judge in administrative cases. But
well, that, I think just for those keeping score at home, that's House Bill 1063. I don't think that made it out of committee, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a fight for next year, maybe. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Correct. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that. But that certainly would seem also as encroaching, some critics would say, on authority, agency authority. Chris Garten, another bill as we round out this discussion that seems to have had broad support is just essentially getting away. We'll study things, yes, in the big picture. But in the meantime, let's get rid of entities, boards, commissions that haven't met in a couple of years. And make sure that going forward, you know, if things are dormant, they basically go away. One of those that's on the hit list, so to speak, is John Krause's old group, the Advisory Commission on. Tell John why we need to get rid of his group, former group.
Again, this is just a I don't think we're dissolving it because of Mr. Krause's service by any means. So let me be clear on that. But I think, again, this is just a review of different layers of boards and commissions that haven't met for 2 to 3 years. And so it's taking a look and saying, look, what purpose do these boards and commissions serve? And if they don't, then let's dissolve them or see if there's a different way to enact a lever that makes them relevant again. And so that's really all this bill does.
And I wasn't suggesting you were antagonizing John Krause. No. Short of resurrecting your committee, you have the last word here. No. What's your prescription for the, sorting that
out? That was established in 1995. And the whole intent is, how can you have dialogue between all three levels of government and the citizens to talk about some of these issues? That organization is as effective as the participants, people of the General Assembly, the state administration, and citizens want to make it. And over the years, I think Beverly Gard and Sue Scholler and others had been chairman of that, and it was effective. but it's only effective as the participants want to do it. So, it's worthy of being reviewed, but you got to look at what the goal is.
All right. I tell you, you had predicted, Professor, that this is the makings of a graduate course, a semester-long course, and we were going to do it in 25 minutes. You can grade us later to see how we did. I'll give you all an A+.
It's got to be more than pass-fail.
I'll give you all an A+ for sharing your expertise and your passions with our viewers and listeners. Thank you very much. Again, my guests have been Republican Representative Stephen Bartels of Eckerd, Democratic Representative Ed Delaney of Indianapolis, Republican Senator Chris Garten of Charlestown, and John Krause, a longtime public policy analyst and faculty member at Indiana University. And time now for our weekly conversation with Indiana lawmakers analyst Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight, part of Hannah News Service. Ed, why all this now? What's driving this discussion, do you think?
Well, some may say that it's a part of a power struggle between the executive branch and the legislative branch that started with the public health emergency. We've seen some legislation pointed at that, and now we're seeing some more specific legislation that's really looking at changing the whole regulatory environment. And I think that Representative Delaney framed it real well when he talked about, do we do this on a broader basis? Do we look at every piece of regulation, or do we continue to do things on kind of a piecemeal basis and just respond to a constituent complaint, a legislator complaint, or to some kind of judicial decision that perhaps overturns a regulation or interprets a regulation.
And how does this unfold then? Is that you've just framed the possibilities? Which direction do we go?
Well, the key here, I think, is really agency expertise and that versus what the legislature, as a citizen legislature, can really do. Our legislature is equipped to decide how many points per billion constitutes pollution, or what actually is the component of asphalt for asphalt in road building projects. And the legislature's really not equipped to do that. And I think that if they start to get into that real oversight role, they're going to find real quickly that they don't want to necessarily do that. But they're already getting, finding some of that. They passed a law in the last session that regulated eyelash extension facilities. And now the Indiana Department of Health is having some trouble trying to figure out exactly what they need to do under that to carry out, to implement that bill. And just this week, they said, well, we need another 60 days to figure out from all the stakeholders and our inspections of these facilities exactly what really should be done. If they can't do that, what would the legislature do?
And we saw the governor wade into this issue on House Bill 1100 in a way he typically doesn't. Very quickly, is that what made the difference on that bill?
Well, I think that certainly played a big part of it, and that's obviously not done yet. We're still working on that. I think that the next real frontier to watch for, though, is what we were talking about toward the end, and that House Bill 1063 on adjudication.
And yes, when we bring another branch of government into it, that makes things even more interesting and more complex. Ed, we'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you, as always, for your insight. The three R's. Are they reading, writing, and regulation of the classroom? We'll check Indiana's education report card on the next Indiana Lawmakers. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwannis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media and Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more State House news. Until next week, take care.